I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey.
Bobby Moore and Sir Jeff Hurst, the Trailer Booking and Billy Bones, Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United, more than just a podcast, more than just a podcast.
Good evening, good morning, or good afternoon. This is More Than Just a Podcast. Season 8, episode 22. My name's George. I'm here with Sean. Hello, Sean.
Hello, George. It's so good to have you back, to hear dulcet tones of yours.
Yeah, isn't it great?
From the highlands of Scotland.
The Hebrides.
Hebrides, the Outer Hebrides.
John's here. Hello, John.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Yeah, not bad. Thanks. What are you up to?
In my loft, talking to you.
Excellent. And Nigel's here. Hello, Nigel.
Hello.
Hello, Nigel. Where are you?
In my front room.
Eating. Is he eating?
Are you eating dinner?
Nuts.
Nuts to you too.
Peanuts.
Peanuts. Salted or roasted?
Salted.
Nice. You know a story about that, didn't you? Peanuts.
What? Yeah, my family used to sell them down the market.
So professional, this doing it. We're so professional.
Broadcast quality. What was it Ian Dale said about us? Something about being
not
broadcast
the natural
ready.
Broadcasters or something.
Not natural broadcasters. Yay. I'm proud of it.
Absolutely. So we are here to talk about West Ham. We played... What games have we got to cover? Is it just... It's just Palace, isn't it?
Yeah.
Eagles...
We played Palace away from home at Selhurst Park on Saturday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
None of us attended.
Even though one of us had a ticket.
One of us had a ticket.
I did have a ticket, yeah.
You did have a ticket. But none of us ended up going. Did we all get to watch the game?
Hell yeah.
Hells to the yeah.
We did.
John, did you get to watch the game?
Yes, I did, because of our mate Woody, who sorted us out, pointed us in the right direction to sort out my viewing issues.
Nice one, so, Woody.
Yeah, thank you, Woody.
So, what do we think? Let's start with you, John, with your new setup.
My new setup. We watched it together, George.
We did, yes.
You were helping me. You were in a construction project in the garden. Well, I say helping.
Sorry, excuse me.
How is your finger?
It's actually very sore. Yeah.
He's saying he didn't help, John.
Well, he moves stuff. But every time he does anything like that, he hurts himself.
Past a pencil.
It's just yeah.
Yeah, I'm not skilled in that field, so I'm afraid there's only so much I can offer.
So yeah, we watched the game. It was a good game. First off, it was very good. We enjoyed it. We seemed to be following our previous pattern of doing quite well, getting opportunities. If only we could finish, we would win these games by more goals. But we done very well first half, and we didn't do very well second half. They were all over us the second half. And
I think
we struggled to contain them.
What you call a game of two halves, isn't it?
It was very much so.
Cool. Cliche.
No, you were only going to say it, Sean, weren't you?
Yeah, I was.
You had that written down, ready to go, Sean.
Game of two halves.
Sorry, ruined that for you.
It was a bit frustrating to watch second half. We just sort of, you know, I mean, Anderson particularly shone first half and was nowhere to be seen second half, which was like what actually stood out for me in the game of two halves is how contrasting his performance was. But yeah, I think we've done all right to get a draw in the end, even though they should have been down to 10 men.
Yeah.
And you know, various other incidents. But
well, I described it today as we could have had four in the first half, but they could have probably had five in the second half. So, you know, I think it's probably a fair result and it all comes to it. But like you said, I think Milivojevic was lucky to still be on the pitch. Sean, what do you think?
Well, first of all, John got me in a bit of trouble.
Oh, yeah.
So, John, I was watching the game and I thought Fredericks didn't have such a good game. And some of that was reinforced by John saying Fredericks just isn't up to it, right? So I wrote a blog after the game saying Fredericks blows his big chance. And I went on to say that Fredericks, he'd been given a chance by Pellegrini after a good game against Liverpool and he'd blown his chance. And maybe he just wasn't ready to make that step up and Pablo Zabaleta was the better thing. I got so much grief over that blog. It was a wrong article. I just got grief all day long saying, well, it's my opinion. It's my opinion and John's opinion. Now, I didn't throw you under the bus, John, as well.
Well, I just said I don't think he's good enough.
But I know that's what you think.
I said that to you. That's the thing. I didn't reiterate that on here.
I shared that,
that
view with everybody in the world, John.
Yeah, but didn't you watch the game?
Yeah, that's I did watch the game. Why? And I didn't think. Why? I thought.
Listen, that was a shocking article. And I read it and I thought, my God, has he got nothing else to write about? And then I read the rest of Claret and you and realised you didn't have anything else to write about, to be fair.
There's 13 days with no football, so...
Well, but you set the bar pretty low with that
No, the next article was about have we made a mistake with Arnautović, which you gave me grief about that, Nigel.
Well, as I said, a slow news day on Sunday. You was pumping up crap for like most of the morning. I just don't know where that came from. You can't
anyway,
blame John.
I would like to put the co-author down as John. Huh?
You watched the game
as well.
I didn't think.
Maybe I'm a bit biased, and I did apologise on Twitter afterwards to say, look, if I've got it wrong, I've got it wrong. I don't think, overall, Fredericks is the real deal. I don't think he's ready. I'm not sure he's going to be our number one long-term.
Second game back from injury. And
hang on,
yeah,
I know that. Oh, you were the ringleader of all these people who gave me grief, the normal suspects, the non-anti-bald lot. But I'm prepared to say I was wrong on this occasion. And yes, he was coming back from injury. Yes, he did. It's only one game. Yes, he did have a good game against Liverpool. But I'm still thinking Pablo Zabaleta is our number one right back. And Fredericks is not quite ready. He's good going forward, don't get me wrong. I just don't think he's a very good defender. That's my personal opinion. And sometimes I'm entitled to my personal opinion.
Well, it wasn't your personal opinion. You formed that opinion after I said he wasn't up
to
it.
Yeah, you just wrote what John said.
I said he wasn't up to it. And you, I would say it wasn't your personal opinion. I formed that opinion by the fact that he was getting ruined time and time again. Yeah. My view was he should be substituted, which eventually he was. He was getting
although
pain.
People said he was only substituted because he was tired. Anyway, I'll start with
he was getting done time and time again, and he was at fault
by one
a
of
few
the best.
Times.
But Finch left exposed, wasn't
he? Say that again, sorry.
He had no one with him. He was left exposed against one of the best wingers going.
Yeah. And
what's your view of... We know what John's view of Fredericks is. We know what my view of Fredericks is. George, what is your view of Fredericks?
I'm of the opinion, give him time. I'm with Nigel. It's the second game back from injury. He didn't look so great in the second half, but then a lot of the team didn't. I thought he did all right in the first half. I'm with John. He should have come off earlier. And when he did, I thought it was the right move. I'm pretty sure they would have probably scored a winner if they'd have kept him on the pitch because Zaha had the better of him for most of that second half. But
Zaha shouldn't have even been on the pitch. And that's the first point I want to bring up about the match, going back to the match.
Well, I don't need to make excuses, though, do you?
No, but he shouldn't have been on the pitch because, you know, a very cynical move by Palace and him to appeal his red card and it's sorry suspension to play West Ham. And
so West Ham have never done that.
Well, I'm sure they have. Do you know what I would do if I was the FA? I'd give him a 2-match ban now because he appealed it.
Huh? They will do. If they think it's a frivolous appeal, they'll do that.
It was a frivolous appeal, and it was done only so they could get, so he could play against West Ham. But anyway, he did play. Yeah, he did score against us.
Goal, didn't he? He got a very spawny goal.
To start off with, let me give you a stat attack first. Crystal Palace had 57% of the possession. West Ham had 43. That means Palace had 25 shots, 5 on target. West Ham had 6, 4 on target. So when it comes on target, I suppose we didn't do too bad compared to them, and a draw was a fair thing if we just look at that. I was surprised at the lineup. I know he kept the same. I thought he would have started with Arnautović. I don't know if he's sending out a message to Arnautović.
Did he come on the pitch?
I don't know whether he thinks he's not quite match fit. I don't know what it was, but when Arnautović did come on, I don't know, his body language said he didn't want to be there. I know you said, Nigel, and I won't steal your thunder, he wasn't getting any service, it wasn't his fault. But I just don't think that's the Arnautović. In the Wolves game before he got injured, in this game, he just doesn't seem to, his body language says everything, but he wants to be there, and I think he's still got the ump. We probably deserve, I think Pellegrini was right, we probably deserve the draw. And probably not the win. I thought luck ran with us. And again, the man of the match by a long, 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 long way was Fabianski. Saved us quite a few times. Some good saves. Declan Rice had a good game. I thought Anderson did all right. I think you're right. He did better in the first half. It was a game of two halves. And we just didn't follow through on the second half. And I think it was 2 drop points because I think they were there for the taking. It was disappointing. Yep. Disappointing.
Nigel, we haven't heard much from you. What's your thoughts?
I thought we were lucky. I thought we were bang lucky. The first half, we had the better of it, but they absolutely annihilated us in the second half. People can complain about Arnautović coming on doing nothing. When did he get a chance to see the ball? We dropped so deep and backed off, and we were scared of their front three. And when they brought Batshuayi on, they had Townsend on their right, Zaha on the left. You know, they were a proper attacking force. I'd argue that the bloke, it was a 50-50 whether he should have been sent off, Milajevic or whatever he's called. It weren't that bad a challenge, to be fair.
It was a yellow.
It was a yellow
if you didn't have a yellow.
So you think they're two different things, yeah?
Yeah, I think there's two different things. You can give someone a yellow if they've not already been booked, and then they do the same thing again. You go, look, come on, have a look at yourself. And I think that's what the ref did. But because if that was a West Ham player and you'd got sent off, you'd all be screaming about how harsh it is. See, to me, you can't have it two ways.
Well, I remember Freddie Piccione being booked for a second time for a standardised bookable offence and getting sent off. Do you remember that, when he jumped in the crowd?
But he jumped in the crowd to celebrate a goal, didn't he?
What's a yellow card and what's not?
Well, the referees see that as a mandatory yellow card, where a tackle is not a mandatory, or a foul is not a mandatory yellow card. Jumping in the crowd is a mandatory yellow card.
Certain tackles are mandatory yellow cards, and I think that counts as one.
No, I don't. And this is where football goes, because it's a bit subjective, isn't it? It's down to the referee on the day.
Opinions.
To decide. And you know,
it's not when I have an opinion.
It's usually wrong, Sean.
That's why. Oh dear. But I just, you know, I had a nice little chat with someone on Twitter who apologised to me today because they watched the game back. They were at the game and watched the game back on Match of the Day and realised what I was saying in the second half was, it was like the Alamo at times. You know, I thought we were lucky to come out with it. With a point. And it was 1 point gained, not 2 points.
The stats
point
don't
dropped.
Lie. They were off target, though.
Stats don't tell you about a football
25
game.
Shots, but only 5 of them were on target.
Yeah, but as you say yourself, when your keeper's the man of the match for you, that tells you.
Yeah.
They kept breaking down our defence time and time again, didn't they? The amount of times they were clear, they put the ball through behind our line and he was clear on goal. And you think, how's he onside? How's he, you know?
Yeah, but it wasn't Zach McCarth for this. My word.
Yeah. I know.
That on its own, you know, you got to look back. Shawai missed a couple of steals.
First half, Benteke was clearing, wasn't he?
Yeah.
It's just like they did have so many opportunities. Our defence was pretty wide open.
I mean, look, our goal came from a penalty where Antonio had his back to goal when the keeper cleared him out. So it ain't a penalty. It's a penalty because the keeper cleared him out. But what I'm saying is it weren't like he was about to pull the trigger and score a goal. He'd actually headed the ball away with the keeper and it'd been splashed.
I sometimes wonder if you're a West Ham fan, Nigel.
Oh, hang on. Go back and look at it. When Antonio headed the ball, did he head it towards the goal or away from the goal?
It's still a foul, though, isn't it?
I didn't say it wasn't, did it? The keeper cleared him out. What I'm saying is...
Sterling did the same thing in the City game yesterday.
If
he kicked the ball away.
Yeah, but if we hadn't have... Say the keeper hadn't cleared Antonio out, would we have got a goal? No.
No, so, but that's the way football works.
I know. What I'm saying is, if when you,
but then the whole game might have been different because the ball would have ended up somewhere else.
But therefore, it shows that we were a bit lucky.
Put a ball in the back of the net, it wouldn't have been a goal either.
We were a bit lucky. Well, no, because when you score from a penalty, it's not like you've created the chance properly, have you? The keeper's at fault there. You don't say, attacking wise, we've done really well there. No, the keeper was an absolute idiot.
But there were, we did have three or four opportunities in the first half where we probably should have scored. If we could have, I remember thinking we could have been 2-0 up with 10 minutes gone.
Well, yeah. Benteke should have got one. I just think they annihilated. I think the first half, we had the better of it. The second half, we were annihilated.
Yeah. We stopped playing. I don't understand what happened. Yeah.
And, you know, it's in our last four games, we've lost against Wimbledon, Wolves, drawn with Palace and drawn with Liverpool. It's like grant or halt the season.
Well, yeah, we've got a little bit of a break now.
Nigel, was it the fault?
How many points from safety?
Was it the fault, and I asked you this question and someone else answered it, was it the fault of the third kit? We were wearing it for the fourth time. As you know, we lost against Liverpool 4-0. We lost against Burnley 2-0.
So much nonsense, Sean.
Yeah, we lost against
AFC. He was scrapping
AFC
around
Bournemouth
2-0. What were the games we wore there again? Couldn't look it up for himself.
Yeah, well, someone found it out. You didn't know. Third kit unlucky?
No.
No, of course it's not.
You sure it's not a superstitious thing?
Yeah.
Why don't you write an article on it, or have you already done that?
Oh, of course I've written an article on it.
That's why you were scrambling around. Like, I think I wouldn't have been tainted with that story.
Dear. Unbelievable.
Anyway, we got a bit of a break now. The boys are off to sunny Spain. Off to Malaga for some warm weather training.
Although, they're flying to Malaga tomorrow.
Right.
For 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
It was 20 day in Malaga, but it goes down to 16 tomorrow, and it's 16 all week. We're having a little bit of a heat wave here. We've got a high of 15. So they're only warm weather. There's only a differential between 1 centigrade between Rush Green and Malaga, or am I being a bit pedantic?
I think it's scandalous that they're going.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Free holiday.
What?
It's not a holiday, though, is it?
Come on.
It's a chance for them to bond and all go together away from other distractions.
To achieve
all eat together.
Which is essentially a holiday. You've just described a holiday.
No.
Have
it's
a time
for them
together,
to
bond, and be away from all distractions and have a good time.
Well.
How would you describe a holiday?
They don't have any sex, are they?
What part of the country?
You don't have to have sex when you go on holiday.
Don't you?
What part of the country are you in as well? I mean, when was it 15?
Like, no, it's going to be 15. The forecast is 15 this week. A high of 15 this week. We got to 11 today. We're used to laughing.
You do that, don't you? Oh, dear.
You went on your honeymoon. Was
yeah, it was honeymoon, though. It's not a holiday.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, but you don't do all that wife swapping that he gets involved in, do you?
No, I don't. Not yet, anyway.
Yeah.
What? So after Malaga, we've got Fulham, haven't we?
We've got Fulham.
So that should be a win on paper, right? Fulham at home.
Friday night at the London Stadium. Now, I know how you like evening games, John, but this is a Friday night, so you make an exception for this one, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I'll be there.
He's on one.
For the Friday night. We've got a few things planned.
Are we all going?
Yeah, I'll be there.
So, yes, there's not a lot to go on. There's been a bit of a racism row. We've got to be a bit careful what we say, because it's blown up. First of all, there was the Saha person who shouted out effing M, blah, 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 and he was caught on video. There's the question of why a Liverpool fan was in the West Ham end anyway, and I've been told his season ticket, but reference number will be cancelled, so we won't be able to buy any other tickets there.
So he couldn't walk up, we'll use a different name and get a new one. No.
Yeah, of course he could.
Yeah.
But people don't seem to understand. It's easy to get any ticket. All you need to do is jump on the internet. As you've said, you could use a fake name. All you need is an email address. You don't even need a proper address, because you can just sign up for a ticket, get a ticket, and straight away you can email it at home, so you don't even have to have it sent to you. It's bloody easy, as you said. You can use a fake name or anything, can't you?
Yeah.
Easy.
But was it storm in the tom? Storm in a teacup?
Is it storm in a tom? Anyone think it was a storm in a tom?
A storm in a teacup, or is it right? Is it got to a point? Well, I mean, I don't hear racism when we go to football. Did ages ago in the 80s, but. You don't hear things now. It must be a minority. The way the papers are making it out, we're all racist. All West Ham fans are. It's one person in 50,000. Nigel, I want to hear your view on this, because I love what you talking about, these sensitive subjects.
Thanks. for me, what the bloke said was racist. It's nowhere near as prevalent as it used to be. I think football fans are just a reflection of society. If you take football out and swap it for any other subject, you'll find a certain very minority will say those type of things. Should every football fan be tarnished with that brush? No, of course not. But it happens. You know, a West Ham fan shouts that out and people start going, oh, typical West Ham fans, you know. A Liverpool fan might come up with a ditty about the Munich air crash and it's, oh, typical Liverpool fans, you know, or crying, or, you know, the one that's always thrown, always the victims. You know, when it's just individual people.
Is that wrong as well? Because I know at the Liverpool game, we're singing, you're always a victim. It's never your fault.
The problem
we're singing,
you've got is,
in a pen in your hand, we're singing sign on, sign on.
Well, this is the thing now. What is acceptable?
Are they allowed?
You know, I had a conversation. You know, we had the Southampton bloke making the airplane and the police questioned him. Why? Is that against the law? It's bad taste. It's a raw thing to do and a poor thing to do. But it ain't against the law. I mean, I've done that at Wembley.
They've arrested him.
Well,
they?
This is what I'm saying. You know,
they have, yeah, they've arrested him.
I had a discussion with my kids tonight, actually, and they looked up whatever he was charged with, and it's like Section 2 or Section 5 or something. And it actually, part of that is it states that if you are offensive. So they've basically, it's against the law to offend people now.
Well, it's mad. I mean, look, listen, I'll admit, I've done that at Wembley with the Dam Busters when we played Germany. Yeah, we made the airplane, and all that. And in the past, I've sung the Munich song, you know, a long time ago. Yeah. Would I do it now? No, perhaps I'm a bit, you know, I'd like to think I'm a bit more intelligent than I was when I was a teenager. Perhaps not a lot, people might say. But I understand, you know, the things that go on.
People have need to be aware now that it is basically against the law to say things that are offensive. So, you know, we've all grown up through a period of time where football chants and, you know, rivalries and things, we would have sung and said stupid things.
It's always been near the knuckle, isn't it?
Yeah, it's always been there to offend, isn't it?
Yeah, it's to rile up the other side to take the thing. You know, it's not, you know, but no, you've got to have something. You've got to have an edge about football. There's supposed to be an edge. And yeah. I think some of the things that have gone on, you know, people got a right to be offended, but it don't mean anything has to be done
against the law.
Well,
It is now. I couldn't understand how they can arrest someone. I agree. It's terrible. It's a horrible thing to do. It is timing and everything. It's just such a horrible thing for some person to think to do to someone. But they're saying and doing something. They're not, you know, in our day, that sort of stuff went on and, you know, people found it offensive, but it wasn't actually legislated against. It is legislated against now, and you've got realised that.
This debate has got on to Twitter. Obviously, there was a debate between Jacob Steinberg and West Ham Fan TV, which looked like a warfare at times on social media. Then it went on to one of the presenters on the West Ham Way radio show, who's since resigned.
But the Jacob Steinberg are representing a whole demographic of people that are essentially have criminalised it, and you know,
Jacob Steinberg particularly has a problem with anti-Semitism because he's Jewish, and he's been on a recent podcast, and he likes to educate.
Well, yeah, but hold up, and the thing about that, if you take the post, I did put that to a very good friend of the show in America who's Jewish. And I asked him whether he thought that was anti-Semitic. And he disagreed. He said no. And this is the thing. Some people, some Jewish people, will see that as offensive. Some people that are Jewish won't. Now, I'll admit, I used to sing, you know, I'm going to run around Tottenham with my willy hanging out. You know, singing about what I have and haven't got. I never sung the last two bits that I thought were wrong and got added years later to the song. It never started with that in. And in a way, we've had to stop singing that, rightly so. But when a group of fans call themselves something, a word that we're not allowed not to say now, but they say it themselves, I think there's something wrong about that, you know? And especially when if you look at, you know, let's look at Kevin's post. It was done in humour. You know, he didn't do it to offend. He did it to West Ham fans as a humour. Now, there are Jewish West Ham fans. My family was Jewish heritage. My dad's family were Jewish when they arrived in the country 150 years ago. Obviously, we're not now. But does it offend? No. And that's why I asked.
Well, you can't decide who it offends.
No, but that's why I went
offend.
To the Jewish people that I knew and said, look, you see this, are you offended by this picture and the connotation of it? And they looked at it and went, no, I don't actually, no.
That's their view,
So why, just because Jacob gets offended it, does it end up in this absolute storm? Because he's a journalist and he can print stories. Where people in his community, so because one person is offended and because he's got this position, he can do something about it. Don't mean it's an offensive post. Sometimes you've got to take it on the chin. Now, it could be right, that could be wrong, but that's, you know, would I post that picture? Probably not, no. But it don't mean, I think...
It is interesting that... I'll tell you a story, and I think I've told this story before.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But often when we play Spurs, they sing a song about us being pikies. Now, you'll probably be aware that the word pikies is a racist slur, and it's one of the words banned as a racist term. When I raised a complaint to Kick It Out and the FA when they used it Well, no, I wanted to make a point. There was no investigation done whatsoever, and it was dropped. It's seen as that, you know, certain things are and certain things aren't. I was making a point. I wasn't offended by the word pikey, right? But I looked it up. It is a racist slur term that shouldn't be used. It's covered by the same legislation, and therefore it should be followed up by the FA, the Premier League, etc. And if someone used it, and it happened to be on social media, and I don't know, a Tottenham fan called Winston Reid a pikey, putting a goal in the back of the net, then it should be treated in the same way, shouldn't it?
Well, no, not if you think that it's wrong. So if you think that saying the Y word at a football game against people that use it is not wrong, then yourself shouldn't be offended when another word is thrown at you, if you get me drift.
Anyway, we get to the point, and maybe we should move on. It's better not to say anything about
but that's why I've kept very quiet.
Yeah, we're completely inclusive on this podcast. We love everybody, okay?
Let's be grateful that the writer of Alf Garnett died a few years ago, because it'd be interesting what...
Basically, football reflects society, and society is getting to the point, if it's illegal to offend, then football... will reflect that, won't it, basically?
Yeah.
But it's a battle against people of our age who remember football a certain way. And not, I don't want to use the word new breed, but then the people, that the generation that have come up behind us, that operate in a different way.
Their opinion will be that
we will be phased out.
See, but I find that offensive, Nigel. Do you find? But But, you know, that's the opinion will be that the way we've adjusted, changed, because we realised stuff that went on in the 80s was offensive and wrong. So we curtail and we've changed, but they're just wanting that change further down the line than we were already getting to. If you see what I mean? We're literally, they just want it completely stopped, where your opinion is like, well, some of it you can be offended of, some of it you're not offended. You don't. So what? You can be offended. That's not against the law, but it is now, I'm afraid. And that's what they've done. So it is best not to say or shout, scream, or do anything, innit? Just watch the football and have a good time.
Enjoy the football.
Say. Yeah, that's what. Go on, say what you said, George, when you on our WhatsApp group.
Can we just talk about football?
Yeah, I think you said, can't we just go watch football? Yeah, and it's right, isn't it? Why can't we just watch football?
I'll tell you why we can't go and watch football. Because we go watch football with you. You started doing all this crap a long time ago and just want stories and talk crap about all the other politics stuff all the time.
This is what bites people in the bum. A modern day thing with all the people coming up, this new generation of filming everything. And this is the thing. So much went on, but it was never filmed. So, you know, perhaps we were the lucky ones then.
But you can say that about a lot of things, can't you? It's not just, you know, on the terraces.
Now, everything is all about, you know, if people see a dog run over now, and rather than go and help the dog, they get their camera out and film it.
Yeah.
You don't see too many ghosts, do you? The ghosts don't seem to be so prevalent nowadays, do they? If everyone's got cameras and there's ghosts everywhere, where's all the films of the ghosts?
Yeah, where are they? Yeah. All the aliens.
Yeah, and the aliens, UFOs.
They live among us, don't
worry about
that.
Go on.
It's time for this. Yeah.
It's Facebook Twitter question time. Earlier on the Facebook page, Nigel placed on the Facebook page / more than just a podcast. Recording tonight, how do you see the season panning out with only league placing to play for? Is it a write-off or do you think there is still life in the season for West Ham? Quite a few, as per usual. Start with Tim Sharman. Oh, say it then.
Oh, me. Sorry. When you said start with Tim Sharman, well, I ain't got Tim Sharman
first. No. I mean, isn't that Luke's dad?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Oh.
That's what I was waiting for.
Right. Yeah, Luke's dad.
Do you think warm weather training is beneficial or just an excuse for a free holiday? Well,
I think it's a holiday. It's beneficial.
Sean doesn't think it's a holiday because they're not doing certain things.
Failure. That's what it is.
Failure? Yeah. We're 10th.
Getting knocked out top of the FA Cup. We should be playing in the FA Cup. Christ, but no, because we couldn't put up a performance against some 10th-rate 2 Bob team at the bottom of League One. No, but never mind, players. You can all go and have a little holiday. And don't worry, the club will pick up the bill for you as well. You ain't got to pay for it yourselves. Jolly, jolly.
But no sets. Craig Wildman,
yeah, no
the season ended when we went out to Wimbledon. Still gives me the ump. Planning for next season should start now, weeding out the players who don't want to be here and shaping up targets for the summer. Well, not much we can do about the players who don't want to be here.
Yep.
We need them at the minute. Michael Malin says, I don't think the season is a write-off. We can finish between 8th and 13th. We must get rid of some deadwood. We know who they are. Taffy Woolback says, don't think the season is a total bust. If we end on a high, makes the summer transfers easier to get and or sell. Seems to me against Palace, we tried to hold on to the 1-0 when really we should have gone for more goals. Rhetorical question for yous lot. How quick do you reckon us Hammers fans will praise Arnie when he starts banging in the goals that pushes up the league? It's a rhetorical question. Paul Mannix says, when Palace equalised, I realised the result was, and furthermore, will be academic. Not a bad thing. We might get to ground ourselves a bit. Do we need grounding?
No.
Nick Harvey says, evening chaps, the season is another disappointment given our early FA Cup exit. Mid-table mediocrity beckons once again. Can't see us achieving the consistency required to challenge 7th or 8th, which is absolutely what we should be doing. He carries on. I see the Baroness is once again showing what a hypocrite she is by not criticising Sir Philip Green and retaining her role as chairman of his retail empire. Sean, any thoughts on the Baroness?
Well, this is an old story. I mean, why would she resign now after she's
weathered
a storm?
There's been more revelations this winter.
There's been another storm. I know there has, but if she hadn't resigned before, I don't... I just don't her time was to
Tory boy.
Her time was to resign before. Go on.
David White says, guys, what do you think of the warm winter break? How does that?
Well, you didn't do the end of McCarvey, did you? Because he also says that there's two areas on this I can help with. One is at least the new carpet's going down.
He's asking questions there. He's just saying, Sean.
Huh?
He's not asking you questions. I don't think he needs any help. Nick,
well, no, I'll just tell you, there is a day. I'm not allowed to say it at the moment.
In the March.
But it is going to be soon. And
I thought we'd said it.
There is a... I'm not allowed to say.
That's
so
unbelievable. How long does it take to get a bit of carpet in?
And the Wi-Fi has been delayed, I'll tell you now, because when... you'll love this story. When... LLDC,
I'll be the judge of that.
LS185, the French operator, they had to start the contract with O2, who they're buying the Wi-Fi off all over again. So we're not quite back to square one. But
I understand hardly any of that. You just kept laughing all the way through it.
The Wi-Fi is delayed.
Nick, I hope you got the help you need, mate. Liam Tyrrell said, Fredericks blows his chance, an ill-advised non-story by a certain blog site. I thought he had a decent game at Palace despite tiring like many others. Yes, he gets caught out now and again with the high line, but let's not forget it took four games at the start of the season for the back four to get used to it. Fredericks hasn't had a run of games yet. He also looked fine versus Liverpool and one of the few to be commended at Wimbledon, all on the back of a lengthy injury absence. If the piece was designed to create a reaction, then well done. Unnecessary, though, and off target. P.S. How does that stand in SE25 obtain a safety certificate? There's a real story there for you.
The thing about
well, I don't know, cause...
when you look at it, so those that were there, and I know what it is, the problem with it is that when you're further back, when it was, they've added like a gangway, because they put the TV cameras in that stand. They put high up, like we used to do in the old East Stand. We used to have a camera stand like up in the roof, but the roof there is a bit lower. So they built a gangway for people to walk around, which lowered the roof. So when you're further back in that stand, you can only see just the pitch. So if the ball's in the air, you lose sight of it. And because there's no arc in the stand like you get at the London Stadium, it means you have to crane your neck when everyone's standing up. If people sat down, it'll probably be all right. But where we all stand up, you can't see down into the corner because we're perched down at the other corner.
Restricted view.
Restricted view. Well, there's the old posts, you know. I quite like it, though. It's quite, I like Sellers Park.
Yeah, it's good away there. And we always seem to do all right there as well. Toby Behan says, we can use the rest of the season to take a closer look at players like Dean Garner, maybe give Chicharito a run in to see if he's worth keeping, assuming Arnie will leave in the summer. See how Lanzini fits into our team and try to build or rebuild a real team spirit so we're ready to hit the ground running next year once the bad apples have moved on.
Always next year.
Rob Absalom says, I like Fredericks and think he has potential to become a regular in the side, but I thought he was poor at the weekend and quite out of touch with the rest of the defence. He played Palace onside a number of times. Yes, he did. Let's hope he improves in more games. Could just be a fitness thing. That's what I'm hoping. Hello from the other side, as Adele would say, says Richard Dodds. Hope Nigel was back this week. Felt Sean got off lightly last week. I do feel, though, Nigel is like the Dildo Brothers, as he promised to get Maid Marian to meet her Prince Sean and he's failed to deliver. Lies, lies, lies. To the football,
yeah.
Is there any truth in the rumours Liverpool and Tottenham will definitely come in and steal Rice from us in the summer? And Declan,
no truth,
Nigel says it.
Whatsoever.
What are your fans who've tore, what are your view on the fans who tore into Annie on Twitter for his performance at Crystal Palace? I think he means Arnie.
Well, I've already said that. He was lacklustre and without real purpose.
Well, that, you've just described the team in the second half, though, haven't you?
That's true.
I mean, that's the point. He never, you know, he came on after what? He had 20 minutes to play. And
came on 70 yeah, minutes. I
think, 70 yeah. 90, 20 minutes of play, yeah, and managed to run with the ball twice. That was it. And that's, you know, because all we did was kicked it out. We never really tried to play out the back in the second half.
Vincent Matthews says, is it me or does this season now feel very stale? The problem is for the Premier League, where do we go from here? Apart from a few notable anomalies, finishing position in the league correlates to money spent. So what about us? We can't outspend the majority of the top six on a regular basis and always going to spend more than the Premier League small fry. So unless we get investment from outrageously rich owners in the foreseeable future, a mid-table finish and a cup run if we're lucky. Yep.
Yeah.
Maybe chuck in a few decent results against the top six, but other than that, it feels a bit stale. I expect fans from the clubs around us feel the same. Or
that's welcome to the Premier League.
Being a hammer all my life, I'm conditioned to being miserable. And now I'm miserable about this season not being a miserable enough season, if you catch my drift. I think that could be it.
So West Ham, it was said, the owners of West Ham, this goes back years, used to prefer it when we was in relegation trouble because they actually got bigger crowds because there was something to play for. The season...
But the crowds don't make that shots anymore.
It's different now, but it's always been that way with West Ham. We always seem to prefer either to be up there or down there. When you get stuck in the middle, you know, I just look at it now and I think, can I be bothered? Not really.
Well, that literally is the whole of the Premier League, and it's just, you know, we are, the teams like us are mate weights to the top six, which are just running off with all the money and all the, well, basically, we just can't find it harder and harder to compete. I need to look at it again from our point of view, recruitment. You know, there's a lot of, I heard some report in the week where all the German clubs are looking at English, young English talent, saying this is where all the talent is now.
Mm.
And they want to get these young English players over to Germany and the rest of Europe. Yeah, but the rest of Europe are doing it. We should have a little change around in our buying policy and start buying in some younger, unproven players and sort of some of these English players who've won all these tournaments.
Does that worry you, Nigel? You just said that's worrying. What does it worry? What, the quality of the Premier League? Is that what you're concerned about?
The quality of English players leaving the young players. Generally, you would think, you know, someone like Jadon Sancho, 17 years old, was he Man City, was he, before he went to Dortmund? So yeah. You would have think a club like West Ham should be looking at that and going, well, hold up, come to West Ham. The reason we had a good academy was because we played the kids. We brought them through and we could buy youngsters and we would play them. I understand now with the Premier League the way it is. Years ago, when you got into a season like this, you would then start playing some of the youth players or the reserve players to see how they perform. The problem is, where there's no reserve football now, you can only measure the under-23s against other 23s, or you'd loan them out to a League One club. But then you create a League One player, possibly. If you over-loan to a lower league club, you create a lower league club. These are youngsters that are going to big clubs in Germany, and they're stepping up rather than dropping down, and they're improving for it. And I think they're the type of players West Ham should be looking at and going, well, we'll have him. The way to break the top six is to get money. The only way we can get money has been buying in young players and selling big money. Yep. We've got to be prepared to sell Declan Rice, but for the right money, not none of that 35 million rubbish. You've got to get double that, 70, 80 million, and then go out and invest it in better players. That's how Tottenham did it all those years ago. For years, they sold their best player. Then, when they'd used it, built together a team to start challenging properly. Look, they've got up there and they've stayed there in the top four.
They have spent, mate. They have spent big money.
Yeah, but what they've done is, if you look, their net spend, their net spend is the lowest in the Premier League, because while they've spent £250 million, they've recouped £250 million in transfer fee.
Yeah.
It doesn't concern me that much, these English players going away and playing, because as a West Ham fan, obviously we're not going to touch them, but from a Premier League point of view and from an England point of view, I think it would be beneficial for the English national team to have these young English players going away playing internationally abroad and bringing it back playing for England.
But do you know what that is? And I'm going to, 4 days ago, I read an article in Telegraph. English football now produces better youngsters than Germany, says Borussia Dortmund technical director Michael Zorr.
That's what John's...
And he goes on to say...
That's what I was talking about.
Oh, was it? Is that the same story?
Yeah. Well, that's what I heard. Yeah, the report about how they're Germany are looking, because it is true. I mean, three or four seasons back, we won, over the last two or three seasons, we've won World Cups and European Championships at all levels. And that's why I'm saying that's one way we could compete, if we looked at certain areas and got in two or three of these youngsters that won these tournaments.
England teams, and you should be looking, right, he's at Man City, he's at Liverpool, they're not going to get a game. Let's get them in.
Team squad, get them in.
They're not.
It's a bit like Bournemouth have done with Solanke, and they tried it with Jordan Ibe, but it didn't pay off. You know, they're a team that are looking in this way. That's how they kind of pick their players. Brooks, similar thing.
You've got to be looking at clubs like Bournemouth and we've just gone above them, but they're very close to us. Bournemouth are 9,000 fans every week in, week out. Crappy Bournemouth. No disrespect. Disrespect to them. You know, you know, 10 years ago, they were lucky to stay in league football. Now look at where they are. And,
And it's anyway, just, bringing us back.
It's clever recruitment and clever planning, and it's being run correctly.
From the manager given a chance.
Talking about running from the top, Merriam Williams says, with Karen Brady allegedly receiving a salary of £898,000 last year from West Ham, can the panel, aka Sean, shed any light on why she was paid a further £438,000 as a consultant by the club?
It's a finder's fee. She bought Tripp Smith as an investor to buy the 10%, and because it was outside her remit for her role as vice chairman.
You're reading off the propaganda form.
No, I'm not propaganda. I'm telling you what it is.
No, you're telling us what they told you to say. You're reading it out outside of...
What was it for then? What magical reason was it for?
It was for bringing Tripp Smith in, yeah? But why is it outside her remit? She's the bloody vice chair, the CEO of the club.
It's not in a job description to bring investors in.
Please. What is her job then, if it ain't that?
Her job is the smooth operation of the back office.
So why didn't I take money off her then when it didn't run smoothly?
Oh, you're so unfair. Yes.
He also goes on to ask a question for Nigel, but I think it could be asked to any of us. Is Sean as big a prat off air as he is on?
Go on,
yes.
I've known Sean for since I was 13 years old. And I would say,
Nathan Waygood says, evening, chaps. Plenty still to play for this season. A few players will be playing for West Ham for their West Ham careers. So I expect we will see some good football in the coming weeks. Yeah, don't count on it. Is there any reason why we don't have ball boys at the stadium? Sometimes it can take an eternity to restart the game. Oh. We do, don't we?
We do. I've seen ball boys.
Ian Gravett says, people saying Lanzini will be fit for the Fulham game. Would you rest him until April, as we don't really want to rush him back, especially now Nasri is supposedly fit again?
It's not people saying it. It's Pellegrini saying that he'd be on the bench for the Fulham game. So it's up to Pellegrini, and Pellegrini we trust. So
Is Nasri back then?
Huh?
Will Nasri be back?
Nasri should be back as well. So Nasri... and Lanzini and Bobwana should be back as well after the break.
Bobwana.
Who's Bobwana? Yeah.
Bobwana. That's how I pronounce it.
Ian Gravett also says, do you think the club should act on away supporters being in amongst the home support? Well, they are, if Sean's to be believed.
Only if they make
Robert Jones. Robert Jesse says, let's go for Vardy in the summer. Never injured, fairly cheap, and you know he would score goals. Surprised nobody's mentioned.
We did make a bid for Vardy before.
That was the season. That was the season after they won the league, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that's our chairman for you. Same way as we went for blooming Messi or something, Sean. It's the same old bullshit.
You're a cynical bunch.
Martin Payne says, I think now it's just planning for next season. See who MP wants and keep those he wants to keep and get rid of those he wants rid of. There is quite a large list of outs, in my opinion, our entire collection of strikers for a start. Over on Twitter, Nigel, you don't happen to have it up, do you?
I've got it. So I can get it very quick.
Yep.
I've got it if you want it.
Oh, we've got loads on here as well.
We're popular now. I think we've increased our listening by...
Yeah, we'd like to think so. I don't really know where this conversation started, to be honest. 45 million release clause. Once again, we are the authors of our own misfortune. Mediocre players on high wages, injury plague. Why bother trying to get into Europe when what we really need to do is clear out the deadwood and build a better squad? Then Jane Morris, photographer, says, stop signing people like Wiltshire as though we can afford to risk playing someone 90 grand a week to not play. Our wage structure is insane and needs looking at.
Yeah.
Four forwards and almost 500k a week and can barely produce anything consistently. The blood boils. Irons.
You agree with that, Sean, don't you?
What's that?
You agree with that all about the wages, because that's the mantra coming out of the club now.
Yeah, I do agree the wages are too high. And
who gave
the FFPs?
Who gave them?
We're in danger of FFP, let me tell you, John. Well, we're just trying to keep Pellegrini happy.
No, well. Reece Bayliss says, minimum we should be looking at is top 10. I think that we would be a good return considering the usual injuries. Players we bought this year have settled well and we should be looking already to build in next season. Michael Farrow says, the board have written off this season just as they wrote off last season and the last two seasons under Allardyce. There should be life in it, but just staying in the top half feels like it'd be an achievement.
Never happy.
Leroy Sane, well, there's loads. If you could switch the goalkeeper, defender, midfielder, attackers with another club, not name Man City or Liverpool to make... I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what I said to my mate Saturday. If we had Palace's front three, we'd be a brilliant team.
Or Benteke?
No, not him. Batshuayi, Zaha and Townsend.
Well, Batshuayi looked rubbish when he came on. He missed
about... I think he'll come good.
Batshuayi was... Where'd he come from? Villarreal, was it? Or somewhere like that?
Dude, Batshuayi.
Where's he? He's just been on loan.
Portman. Valencia.
He was voted their worst signing ever.
Yeah, Valencia.
Yeah, but he still did more than our strikers.
James A. Hayward says, I'm loving it. The potential of watching a Pellegrini team for three more years is exciting. We're attacking, playing some great football with commitment. We need more consistency on all three, which will come. Couldn't care less if we finish 7th or 15th. I just want to be entertained. There's some positivity to end.
Yeah, well done.
Sort of question time. Now, all we have left is predictions or Super 6, etc., Nigel.
All right.
Do you want to do that quickly?
He only said Super 6 because he got more points than me this week again.
Who did?
Mr. Whetstone.
Did he say Super 6?
I didn't say Super 6.
You did. No, you said Super 6 earlier, didn't you?
We got the same points as each other this week.
Oh, I don't know. You was banging on about, I've got 17 points.
I had 17, but they all fell to pieces at the end, and we just got six each.
Come on, quickly, please. We've got 5 minutes.
Because you did your 1-0 usual.
All right, just move on to predictions.
Okay.
Come on, Nigel.
All right, top 10.
I've stopped doing 2-6, by the way.
I would have fired your point, Tally. Adam Darlington, 315 in 10th. James Madwich, 1 point higher, 316. The Pontiff, Simon Pope, 320. Ryan Smith, you've got 322. Ben White, 325. Fifth is Alan Austin, the car, 325 as well. Mark Matthews is a point higher on 326. We get a 10-point jump in the third place. Phil Walker, 336.
And I feel
Walt Disley finally loses his top spot, 338 out of Mickey Mouse week. Top of the pile is Lee Davis on 340. There you go. This week, we didn't score a lot of points. I've got 6. Simon Pope won the week with 16.
I got 6 as well. So I guess we're still in the same positions. You're still not catching me.
Yeah. I'll tell you where you are.
Good. Predictions.
I'm going to go 3-0 West Ham against Fulham. Come on, you Irons.
Really?
I'm going to go 2-1 West Ham.
Nigel?
I think we'll win 2-0.
And I'll go a very inspired 1-0 win to West Ham against Fulham. And yeah.
That's it. We won't be here next week. FA Cup break.
Yeah, which we're not in.
We've got warm weather training, haven't we?
Yeah, we're off to Malaga. Yeah.
We should maybe do a weather
sex. No sex.
You've got the title for this week, haven't you?
No sex chronology.
Thanks for listening. Come on, you Irons.
Come on, you Irons.
Bye.
Bobby Moore. Just a podcast. Bobby Moore, more than just a podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.